You're listening to the Code 4 Podcast.
Whatever, 25, you said it.
Code 4.
Gotta be Code 4, 1104.
Hello, everybody. This is Jeff Richards, and in this episode of the Code 4 podcast, we're going to be talking to Deanna Melhoff. She is a nurse practitioner, and she specializes in what is called metabolic syndrome, and specifically how metabolic syndrome affects first responders. Deanna has a real heart for first responders. She grew up being a firehouse kid, as she called it, out at the old Lake Taps Fire Department. Her dad was a volunteer out there for 32 years. She spent a lot of time being packaged up as the victim in drills and being rescued from ladders, seeing people training as divers in their swimming pool. It's something she's been around her entire life. In fact, she even married a law enforcement officer. So we're going to get into this metabolic syndrome issue and talk about it and why it's so important to all first responders. So here we go. Deanna, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Let's start with you telling us who you are and some of your medical background.
I'm Deanna Melhoff, nurse practitioner, family practice board certified. I have been in healthcare basically since I was 16. Every job under the sun. I was an RN for several years and then went back to school and got my graduate degree as a nurse practitioner. And it was in graduate school that I did research for a mandatory project that we had to do to graduate. And it was, we had to identify a new vulnerable population. And there were certain guidelines to do that by. And then we had to create a screening tool that would actually identify that population and then prove that that screening tool worked. And in all my research, I adore chronic disease. I love diabetes and cardiac disease and all those things that is the majority of illnesses out there. And as I'm doing research on populations that suffer from these illnesses, I kept stumbling on information about first responders. And in first responders, I include dispatchers, fire, police, EMS. And it was just amazing to me. And so I said, well, gosh, I think that there's a population here that suffers from a specific illness, and that illness is metabolic syndrome. So I created the tool, I put it to use, it was proven, and that's what I use today. So today I am a nurse practitioner. I own my own company, Northwest Health Services, and our goal is to serve the community, but not in a big box medicine way, but to go into the services and say, hey, these are ailments that affect you specifically due to your job. And I just want to bring the education to you and give you opportunities to be cared for in the specific way you deserve, because big box and commercial medicine today doesn't check the boxes to care for our first responders.
How did you identify metabolic syndrome as affecting first responders?
So metabolic syndrome in itself is a collective, imagine a heart in the middle of a wheel, and there's five spokes, and those five spokes are chronic diseases. So we've got cardiac disease, hypertension specifically, insulin resistance, high triglycerides, low HDL, and obesity. And how I identified that is first responders, the statistics we were seeing was they're more likely to die of heart attacks at regular or slightly elevated blood pressure. They're having strokes and heart attacks significantly more than the common citizen. They're obese, 8% more than the average citizen. And so as I'm looking at, okay, here's the heart attacks, here's the obesity, oh, here's insulin resistance, here's actual research from 30 years ago on this same subject, it was clear right away that there was a problem. And then I identified some other resources out there that, in fact, are doing the same research and putting it into motion. There's Dr. Greenwald in Reno, and there's another company that I resource, a cardiologist who was SWAT, that has a company that goes out and screens for the same thing. So I knew just by those resources and finding their research over and over again that this is an issue, but it's never talked about. No one treats them any differently, and they need to be.
Okay. And have you identified a specific process of how this affects the population more than the regular population?
Yes. So there's illness spectrums. There's, you always hear of health and wellness, and then you'll hear of a wellness spectrum from well to sick. And in first responders, the wellness to sick spectrum has identified higher cortisol levels, higher incidence of stress, higher incidence of suicide and domestic violence. And it can go on and on and on. The obesity, the insulin resistance, the triglycerides, everything. And so once we've identified that, we have to get down to the core why. And it all comes back to the amount of damage that is done to the body due to stress.
Okay. So obviously, the longer that you're in the job, the more this can affect you.
Absolutely. So the stressful situations, first responders, and again, I include corrections, dispatch, EMS, fire, police, the longer that they're subjected to this environment, their bodies, one, adapt to where they can't feel their blood pressures going up. Two, they can't feel cortisol. You just can't. It's a hormone that is involved in the process of fight or flight. They can't feel insulin resistance coming on. Some of the top symptoms of insulin resistance, we can literally try to excuse due to other issues. For instance, shortness of breath going up and down stairs. Oh, you know, people say, oh, I'm out of shape. I've gained a couple pounds. Well, actually, that's one of the symptoms of high blood sugar. People that have stomach aches, or they think they're nauseated or having bowel issues because maybe their wife or husband cooked a meal they did that wasn't done correctly. Those are signs and symptoms of high blood sugar. And so these people are in these industries. They're the least likely to go see a doctor, and they're the most suffering, and they have no clue that their job is actually contributing to their illness.
Wow. How long have you been working in this area?
Oh my goodness. So in the area of
the metabolic syndrome. Yeah.
Yes. I made that a focus literally right out of grad school. So currently in the company that I own 3 years, but as a registered nurse working critical care, I chose to work in cardiac and chose to work in the more acute and intensive care units. And also as a professor, as an adjunct professor at PLU, also as a preceptor to nurse practitioners coming into the industry. So at least 5 years.
Okay. Let me ask you this. The youngest patient that you've had, what's the age?
21.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So when I first got out of grad school and opened up Northwest Health Services, I immediately wrote letters to all these departments. And I said to these departments, hey, I have this information. I really want to present it to you. It's about health and wellness in law enforcement and first responders. And it would really be beneficial to especially new recruits coming out. And over time, multiple agencies, I was invited to speak recently at a fire academy group that hasn't even graduated yet to be firefighters. And in that group, there is a 21-year-old that contacted me shortly after saying, hey, you know, this is how I feel. And this gentleman's in really good shape. And this is the other misconception of wellness. People think because they're in shape, they're not sick. And it's just not true. And this gentleman is in very good shape. And he started recognizing he was having some stress, some bowel issues, some of the symptoms I teach about when I teach classes. And sure enough, he was diabetic, didn't know it. And he had high blood pressure and his triglycerides were off the chart. And so immediately just put him on nutrition, hydration, and exercise programs that reverses that immediately and naturally. And he's doing quite well. And it's only been 2 months.
Wow.
So, yeah.
The reason I ask is, of course, when we're younger and we're first into the service, we're bulletproof, you know,
yes.
Especially if we are
yes.
in shape. And, you know, say yes. you're somebody that's athletic and does all kinds of CrossFit or whatever. And so I can see where you might get resistance talking to younger people about this.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now that we have this wonderful Dr. Go Ogle and research on the internet, a lot of these wonderful, well-intending first responders have just enough education coming out of college or school from the classes they had in nutrition and health, if they had them, how to research things, and they want to self-diagnose. One, because they don't want to be vulnerable to a stranger. Two, because they truly do think that they have a handle on things. And the danger of going to Dr. Google is they get the wrong information. They start taking supplements they really don't need. And it just leads them down a road that's not really good for them. Or in this industry that is very prevalent, I call them druggie buddies, and that includes all natural supplements. You'll see first responders say, gosh, I don't want to go to a doctor. I don't feel comfortable. I don't have the time. I don't have the sick leave. I'm in required overtime. And they lean on their buddy who, oh, their buddy's taking this and they feel great. So I'm going to take it. Oh, you have this issue. I have this issue. And what are you taking? Okay, I'm just going to call my doctor and ask him to prescribe it. And they start taking natural supplements combined with medications and they get even worse. So yes, the Googling, the buddy system, the youngsters that I try not to discriminate against the young guys because there's a lot of smart ones out there. They're more health conscious than conscientious than the older generations of first responders, but at the same time, more resistant to getting help.
Well, it is a changing environment, that's for sure. I can say that none of this was talked about or any type of mental health yes. type stuff when I started in 1985. But now, at least in the academy, they are being told about some of the things that may happen, that will happen more than likely. So education is getting better. Let's just say that somebody wants to come to you. What's the first thing you're going to do?
First thing I'm going to do is just be personable and just get to know them, not treat them like a number or try to have to look them up before I have a conversation with them. Just flat out ask them, what are you doing in front of me? And what is your goal? What are you trying to achieve? And sometimes that's all it takes. And they'll say either I have symptoms or, you know what, I feel fine. I just want to see what this is about. Or you've helped my friend and I want to see if there's anything you can help me with. I get to know what their goal is. And then I have a screening tool that is all encompassing from their lifestyles, from their work history, including military history and combat history. I go into, are you a grab and go lifestyle? Do you cook? Do you shop? Are you exercising? What kind of self-care do you do? And I go into all of that in depth. And based on their unique experiences, their unique needs, their unique lifestyle, then we go into, okay, here's the labs we should draw. And then after the lab results, the initial lab results come back, we come up with a plan. Sometimes we have people that come in that say, gosh, you know, I'm feeling this way and this doesn't seem right. And we do labs and actually the labs come back great. And then it goes back to stress. And we have to talk about stress. We have to talk about trauma. We have to talk about anxiety. We have to talk about depression. And not because we're putting them out there thinking that, you know, they're detrimental and they can't handle the job or whatever. In first responders, there's lots of different stressors, not just the job. And so we see a trend that there's quite a bit of divorce, blended families, multiple families, different children from different families. And yes, there's other patients out there that have that. But what makes it unique is first responders also have lots of financial stress. And when those stressors add up, it's hard for them to take time off because they're trying to pick up the overtime for the financial things. And when their job is already stressful beyond other careers out there, and then they're trying to tackle the financials, tackle the family, communication barriers. It's so compiling. Sometimes it's overwhelming. They have this plate that runneth over and they have nowhere to start. And sometimes that's what I'm there for, is just to help them identify, okay, you're under a lot of stress. You're physically okay right now, but eventually that body's going to flip the switch. And we have to identify what the stressors are and give you self-care and give you direction on how to help yourself out.
Well, that sounds really good. Can you give us an example of a patient, you know, without naming names, of course, how they came in and how it resolved?
Oh, wow. I have so many. How do I pick just one? So we service all of Washington State. We're in the process of getting licensed in Idaho too, but from I've been up to Port Orchard, North Kitsap, down to Vancouver, over to Spokane. So, I mean, there's so many. I'll give you a couple that are just really awesome. So I have one person, one gentleman that came to me, and he wasn't even seeking to be a patient. He was passing by, coming out of turnout to go on duty, and I was in the process of teaching a class. And after the class, he just came up to me and he says, "Hey, I have a question," and proceeded to tell me about a symptom he's been having for a little while, once in a while, that, you know, catches his attention. And I said, "The next time you have that symptom, you go directly to the ER." And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." The next day, he was out with his partner, his spouse, and had the symptom, went and got checked out, and ended up being hospitalized for several days, getting cardioverted. And when he exited the hospital, they said, "You have to follow up with your primary." Well, he didn't have one. He doesn't go to the doctor. He's a height, weight, proportionate, healthy guy. Why would he go to the doctor? So now he's coming out of a hospital with a very serious, complicated issue. And so I said, "Of course, I'll take you. Let's go through this together." I got a 51-page ER discharge and hospital report, went through, found some very, very other significant issues where we had to refer to vascular, we had to refer to cardiology, we had to refer to nephrology. And when he was discharged, they didn't tell him any of the other stuff. All they cared about was what brought him in the hospital and that they corrected that one thing, but they didn't tell him there was other things. Had he not followed up with me, I don't think he'd be with us today. And so he's lost, I can't imagine, he's lost, oh my gosh, at least 30 pounds, if not more. He's incredibly healthy. He has corrected all those issues. I still follow up with him. So that was one that wasn't even seeking help. He just had a question. The other one that is near and dear to my heart, this is a gentleman who came to me after seeing me at a conference. His department made it mandatory for him to go to one of the conferences I speak for. And after seeing me, he reached out and he said, I'm at my wit's end. And he's, you know, twice divorced, getting engaged again, several children, financial stress, heavy alcohol use, and just spiraling downward, and to the point where his partner had left him and his fiance and said, "You get help or we're done." So we reached out. And our first appointment was about an hour and a half of just letting it all, it's like, just tell me everything. And we started with direction on self-care and just stress reduction and what we can do to identify what's overwhelming. And in 8.5 weeks, he has lost, and he wasn't coming to me for weight loss, just let's be clear. He lost 21 pounds, I think, has absolutely cut alcohol down to very minimum, sometimes just weekends. He works out every day. He is obviously healthy eating with the response. It's helping him sleep through the night. It's helping him deal with his different issues. His financial issues have corrected because now he has the energy and the clear thought process of how to compartmentalize priorities. And he's a better father. He's a better partner. His fiance came home. They're doing healthy physical activities together as a family. And it was all because of just reaching out and saying, "My plate is running over and I don't know where to go. And I don't know how long I can take this." And so, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Well, that's great. You talked about losing weight with both of these patients. Yes. Is there a specific type of eating that's better? I mean, because, you know, there's all kinds of diets out there.
Yeah.
And there's always the latest thing that somebody's doing. There's these, I call them fads kind of because,
yes,
you know, maybe a multi-level kind of a thing and people are doing, you know, drops or, oh, different workouts. There's the best workout, you know, and then they find out maybe that's not it. And so what about diet? What about food?
Yes.
Oh. Is there anything that's like flat out like, okay, if you're doing too much of this, I mean, obviously there's like, you just can't eat a ton of sugar and everything, but can we just talk a little bit about diet?
Yeah. So, in my classes that I teach, I have a 6-week curriculum, 1 hour a piece. And sometimes departments want me to do 2 hours over 3 weeks. I cover this heavily. And one of the first things that I put out there is there's no specific diet that is all encompassing that is going to be one and done for everyone. In first responders, their lifestyle is so grab and go that even if you try to do, I love the meals that get delivered to the house, the healthy ones. I can't remember what they're called. Those are good.
There's so many now. Yeah.
But what we find is a lot of people are just having, you know, their protein shakes and their powders, and that's great. That's great. But what I do is give them information on how the body works and why we need to pay attention to the liver and not overwhelming the liver, and what sugar does to our body, and what time of day we should eat certain things. And as you know, first responders aren't 9-to-5 morning people. Some are, but they don't know that working night shift, their body's going to metabolize different. The less amount of sleep you get, their body's going to metabolize a little different. So depending on your shift, depending on how many hours of sleep you get, depending on your lifestyle, I've got single moms out there that they sleep 2 hours coming off night shift, get their kids to school, come home and nap, and then they go to work. Well, what I offer them, oh, do Weight Watchers here, do this and that. No, because it would never work for them because of the broken sleep. So yes, I teach a lot about health and nutrition. And if I can give the number one tip, water, water, water.
Okay.
We live in a constant state of dehydration, and water, no caffeine, water.
Well, Deanna, there are a lot of people in this field now getting into first responder wellness. What is the difference between what you do and perhaps one of these big companies that's entering the field now?
Oh, that's a great question. So let me just start off with, I've had the pleasure of serving in these big box medicine companies, these commercial companies, and I know that they're big and they have lots of resources, some of the best healthcares here in Washington State, anywhere in the United States. And I would also argue the world. We have some of the best research technologies and providers. But what we also have is 2-3 month waiting times to get into a primary care provider. And when you get in there, you get 10, 15 minutes. And the first part of the visit is spent with a medical assistant or CNA checking you and doing vitals. The doctor comes in for 5 minutes, you get one and done. And then you have to come back with any other question. Now, if people are lucky enough to have an independent provider, which a lot of those are gone, then they'll get more time and they'll get more holistic care. What I do, and there's a lot of providers out there that do what I do to their clientele base. What I do that is unique to caring for first responders and unique to my practice is I spend 1 hour with every single new patient, and every appointment after is a half hour. And on that 1 hour, when I meet them, they've already sent me, they've already filled out my screening tool, they've already met my staff, they've already engaged in either emails or texts with me, so that when they step into that 1 hour appointment, it is all about them. It is all about their history. It's all about their eating and dietary habits. It's all about their symptoms they're having, their overwhelming stress they're having, and then bottom line, their goals. And then we work together to come up with a personalized plan for them to achieve their wellness goals, whatever they may be. But in every appointment, I always go back to, this is how your body works. This is why it's important you do things this way. One of the goals I love is trying to get everybody off of meds, or at least reduce significantly, because our bodies, when we nurture them and we hydrate them with whole foods and we get out and we move and we exercise, it's amazing what our bodies can do to heal. So what I do differently is empower the person with education and give them the reins that they are in control and that they are not dependent on others. Now, if they have a chronic illness that's outside the realm of metabolic syndrome, then I help them get to the best resources, to the best specialists, and figure out what we can do to help them with that illness spectrum. But in the interim, with metabolic syndrome, when you have proper education and proper tools with hydration and nutrition and movement, exercise, you can reverse a lot of chronic illnesses out there. And that's what I do different.
Fantastic. If somebody was to get a hold of you, like how long would it take for them to get in to see you?
So right now I'm about 2 weeks out. It depends on how serious it is too. I try really hard to, if somebody is, for instance, the one patient I talked about that was pretty much on his last rope. He was at the end and he didn't know where else to go. I got him in the next day. Usually it's 2 week wait. And after every appointment, if they need me more often, I do weekly visits, I do biweekly visits, and we check in if they have questions. Everybody who registers with me gets my cell phone number. My husband's not a fan of that, but I am. Uh-huh. And so those night shifters that never, ever get the opportunity to see their provider during the day, I will actually get text messages in the middle of the night, and I'm appreciative of that so they don't call and wake up my husband. But I will get text messages, and if I don't respond in the minute at 1, 2, 3 in the morning, when I wake up early in the morning, I'm getting right back to them. So, yeah.
Very nice. Does your practice take medical insurances?
Oh, absolutely. I am credentialed, I think, through 18 different insurances. The big ones, Premera, Blue Cross Blue Shield, United, Aetna, HMA. There's too many to name, but yes.
So Deanna, if somebody listening wants to get a hold of you, how would they do that?
Oh, super easy. You call Shanoa. She's my medical assistant. Call us at 253-924-9955. She will answer Monday through Thursday, usually between the hours of 10 to 2. And if you leave a message, don't worry, she will get back to you. Or you can go to our website and set an appointment at northwesthealthservices.org. That's nwhealthservices.org. And one of us will respond. Usually I respond directly to those.
Well, thank you very much for your time and for giving us this important information. I really appreciate it.
Sure. You're welcome. I'm just so honored to be a part of this and to help anybody out there that needs more information or wants more help.
Well, I certainly learned something listening to Deanna, and I hope you did as well. Once again, her phone number is 253-924-9955, and her website is nwhealthservices.org. Thank you to Robert Elliott, Erica Voyer, and Jim Gould for their voices and help with the podcast intro. The music heard is Wah Game Loop by Kevin MacLeod. You can find it on the web at incompetech.filmmusic.io/song/4602-wah-game-loop. And the license is at filmmusic.io/standard-license. All of the music information is posted in the episode description. Thanks for listening. Until next time, this is JR signing out.